God's Spirit poured out upon us has given us the very power of God. Now, you know, you're going to say, well, we've heard. No, you see, because I think you need, it's keep pressing on. Dunamis, meaning force, might, strength, ability, miraculous power, abundance, the ability to perform miracles. The power is in you, and it's in me. The spiritual exercise of making the decrees finds its precedence in both the Old and the New Testament. See, the practice means simply quoting God's promises back to him, reminding him of what he said. See, this kind of prayer is one of the most vital forms of intercession. What does Job 22:28 say? You will also decree a thing. Mm-hmm. Who's got to decree it? Yes. And it will be established for you. Who's going to do the establishing? God is. Yeah. See, it's going to be established for you. It means you don't have to do anything but start speaking and believing. It says, and light will shine on your ways. Well, another version, Alex, says this, and your future will be very bright. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a bright future. Amen. And I'm seeing the power of the decrees. I'm seeing them, what they've done, what's happening with the decrees that are being made, not just over individual lives, but over our nation and over our government. We have a godly man as the Speaker of the House. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. We prayed and decreed for God to put his man in there. We all had men picked for it. Did we not? Yes. And not one of them even come close. And everybody said, where'd this guy come from? All of a sudden he just came up. And then read his background. He's a Bible toting. Yeah, he's a believer. Yeah, yeah. And he gets people together and says, okay, you come in here, let's pray first. Let's pray first. God, I think God put his man there. You know, that's me. Hallelujah. Okay, a decree is defined as to determine judicially, to determine or resolve legislatively, to fix or appoint, to set or constitute by edict, or in purpose. Now, a decree is a legal action. When we decree, we are speaking what God has said or promised, his word and his law. We have legal right to do just that. In Psalm 2 verse 7 says, I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Now, declare is defined as to make a declaration or avow some opinion or resolution in favor or in opposition, to make known explicitly some determination, to publish or proclaim. I know that said a lot. But see, there's one more definition. And I wanted to make sure that you hear this one. It says, declare is also defined as to clear, to free from obscurity, to make plain. To make plain. Now again, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. The decree is the promise of God. It may be a promise you have found in the written word, or it may be something that has been spoken prophetically to you. It may even be a promise God has spoken to you into your heart. So I will declare and decree what the Lord has said unto me. You see? Hope that makes a little sense there. See, when we declare or speak out the decree, we are making it plain and clear. We are making the end result clearly known. We are, like God, declaring the end from the beginning. Through the power of our declaring and decreeing, we have been given power by God to change situations. Our part is to declare and decree Spirit-filled words. To declare anointed words that can and will change our lives, our families, our nation, and the world. Our Bible tells us if we declare a thing, it will be established. But so if you take a moment and you think about the power of that statement, if we decree a thing, it might be established. It will be established. See, there's a big difference when you get that it will be established. And who will establish it? God will. As believers, we are seated in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. God wants heaven to come to earth. And it will only come through us, the believer. Our Father, who art in heaven, come on, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, our glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. You understand? Forever. Yes. Hallelujah. Hearing from God and then declaring his decrees will release his promises on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's a decree. That's a prayer, I know, but prayer, decrees are prayers. And everybody has said it through the years, and they were just saying, but see, if they understand they were really making a decree, it even changes things. The people just got to think, oh, that's the Lord's Prayer. We'll say it. It's a nice little thing. No, understand the power that's in that prayer. Understand the power of Psalm 91. He is our shield and buckler. He is Jehovah Magon. Okay? Check me out. Know the difference. When that shield is all around protection. All around protection. And the buckler is to strap it on your hand. And anytime something is shot at you, you just, at Leanne, it'd be like Wonder Woman, right? Ting, ting, ting. But that's what he is for you. So when you confess that psalm, when you speak this thing, hallelujah, look what we're decreeing over ourselves, over our families. Jesus. It's so important that we understand decreeing. Yeah, that's why I've been staying with God. You know, Holy Spirit said, stay. Stay planted. And I said, okay. I mean, because I often try to say, okay, I got an idea. Hey, Jesus says, no, we ain't going there. He'll let me spend a day on it. Yep. And then it's like I'm thinking it's coming, but it's so hard. And then when I say, okay, what do you want? Put these aside. I ain't going that direction. I got to stay with what he feels that we all need. Because even, Shirley and I, she talked quite a bit. She wants to make sure, she says, the understanding of, because she says, it's even gotten more enlightening to her since she's been doing it now, how powerful the decreeing is. Same as Teresa and Vicky. It's powerful. And this morning, that's what I say, and the Holy Ghost picked up, and I was actually looking, I wanted to see what she had to say, what was going to happen. And I like, okay. Holy Ghost is moving.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. All right. See, it is through our words, though. See, life and death are powerful by the words we speak. See, when we speak God's word, we are declaring and decreeing life over our situations. Our God-inspired words can and will change everything. They will put God's angels to work to make it happen. See, because they're just waiting around, and they're listening. And they're listening for God's breathed words. And they come out through our mouths. Because we, Psalm 103, verse 20, says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength." Ain't no weak angels up there. They strong. They excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. They hearken to the voice of the Lord through us. See, and it's time we start taking back our joy. It's time we start taking back our peace. And it's time we start taking back, Anthony, our stuff.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I thought of you, bro, as soon as I was writing that. I said, woo, okay. Because they've been taking our stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't let them take it no more. Yeah. See, angels are waiting for our words. So we got to empower them today. And how do we do that? With our voice. So open up your mouth and speak his word. You speak the word over your brother,
amen.
Pete.
Yep.
He will get the report of the Lord.
That's right.
He's healed by Jesus' stripes. He will live and not die.
Amen.
For God has sent his word and healed Pete. That's what we do. We speak that out. We let no other thoughts come in. And any time a thought starts coming in, you take the other. You say, that's not what the word of God says over my brother. That's it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Declare the decree what he has spoken to you.
Yes, sir.
Declare and decree until you see it manifest before your eyes. Don't quit. Don't grow weary. We call them confession, but we got confessions, we got declarations, we got decrees. Man, we got so much power within us in the words we speak because they're powered by the Holy Spirit in us. Psalm 119, verse 12, the Passion Translation. My wonderful God, you are to be praised above all. Teach me the power of your decrees.
Yeah.
Teach me the power of your decrees. The power behind our decrees is faith. Faith in God and his word. His word is just as powerful today as it was when he spoke it. Well, Isaiah 55:11 says it. It's so, and this is him speaking. This is the big guy.
That's right.
I'm talking the big guy.
Yeah.
Talking God himself. Isn't that what Donnie called him? Big guy. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. As we declare and decree his word over situations, be assured it will not return void. It shall accomplish and it will prosper. That means it will succeed. And it will be successful in what it was sent out for. But the word can't go forth until you send it. Yeah, he wants you speaking his word. In Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5 we're going to read. I mean, whole. I mean, you could just read all of chapter 1. It's like, but anyhow, let's get on with this. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. When God spoke, Holy Spirit went to work at the speed of light. And what is the speed of light? It's 186,000 miles per hour. That's faster than you can blink. God created everything in 6 days. Now that is incredible. And in fact, it's truly mind-blowing, isn't it? But you believe that, right? I question, do you believe that? Do you believe God created in 6 days what we live in? Mm-hmm. And he created us in his image. Peter, you got to like it. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as is one day. Everything he does quickly. He's been to the future, and he's been back. He knows what's happening. But I like that. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. You believe that, right? I'm asking the question. You got to all answer. Yep. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Yeah. Because there should be no doubt about it. That's what I'm trying to impress. Some people question. And it seems like the more they keep studying out, the more they want to doubt the Word of God, but then they come out and it's always proven out. This word has always been proven out. I don't know why that has to be. Is that because we're human? Holy Spirit went to work at the speed of light. Who is full of God's dunamis, his power. When you and I were baptized in the Spirit, we were filled with the Spirit of God, who is full of God's dunamis. We are full of God's dunamis. Are you getting that? We are full of God's dunamis, the power. You believe that, right? Yeah, there you go. Now you're getting into this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit, awaken them. Let them be bold in their answering. They have nothing to be ashamed of. Hallelujah. This is Sunday morning Sunday school. Hallelujah. My wonderful God, you are to be praised above all. Teach me the power of your decrees. The power behind our decrees is faith. In each day of creation, we see these words written before it even started. Then God said, I like that. Then God said, look, every day, then God says is what it starts. Yeah. And then he also said, and he saw that it was good. Mm-hmm. See, God was just not a wishing and a hoping here. Okay. No, he was full of faith. He was confident that it would happen exactly as he said it would to the very detail. Mark 11. And I want you to look to verse 12. Mark 11, verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it. What did he do, Tim?
Said.
He said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And they had to write this part in there. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the very same fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, I added that in there so you could get that. But it was the very same fig tree. And it was dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Well, it's actually have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. I'm telling you this morning, have the God kind of faith. You have the power of God in you. And then Jesus goes on to give us the law of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, didn't say talked about the mountain, it says to the mountain, speak to the mountain in your life, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Our God is a faith God. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Every other day or once a week ain't gonna get it. That ain't diligently. You wonder why you weak sometimes? Faith is not the product of reason. The force of faith, the God kind of faith that resides in us is now. It is now. Because we serve a now God. He is the creator of the universe. And when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, the faith of good God Almighty came and is living in us. That same faith is in us. The Bible tells us absolutely clear here. So you don't have no doubt about it. Fear can overcome anything in this world order, including the new world order. Okay, are you hearing me? Don't fear the new world order, as we have overcome it. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. All right, let's make this declaration again. I am what my Bible says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Whatever God's word says, I believe it. I have it. It's mine. Hallelujah. It's mine. There you go. Whoo. Y'all believe that, right? Come on. There you go. I like that. See, the power behind this declaration is your faith. It's mine too, because when I say it, I believe it. And I have it. It's mine. Yeah. And ain't nobody going to take it away. Yeah. I got a grip on my faith, and I ain't letting go. Am I right, Sister Vicky? Oh, you got to know, folks. You just got to know. And I didn't write this for you. This was already written. Amen? Amen? All right. Our faith, which we received when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, remember, it is a gift from God the Father. It is a gift. Just like grace. It's a gift. Many believers today are no longer believing. They have let the world around them and the negative thought planting, lying, deceiving enemy, the devil, keep them from continuing to grow their faith. See, Jesus referred to faith as a mustard seed. That tells us that we must grow our faith, and we do it one step at a time. So in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 29. Now, Jesus had just got done letting the woman with the issue of blood touch the tassel, got healed. Then he told the young ruler, okay, I know we're delayed. They said your daughter ain't dead. He said, just believe me. Didn't even let him say the words. He said, just simply believe. Simply believe in me is able to do what you've asked me to do. I'm telling you this morning, simply believe in what you've asked him to do, and he will do it. Simply believe. Quit making it harder than what it is. He says, just simply believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So we see here, after that just happened, there's two blind men following Jesus, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. I thought, no, somebody had been pointing them. Or they did, had they had good senses and had them sticks. But they went right in there. I don't see where they had any help. So it was anointing that was drawing them in. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. If they didn't have any faith, they came in blind, they was going to go out blind. But it doesn't say that. They went out healed. They went out with their vision totally restored. They believed that Jesus was able to do that. The same Jehovah Rapha is here today for all of us. The same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Many today are crying out to God. They're asking Him for many different things. Yet they are not receiving. And they become frustrated and they don't understand. What do? They get disappointed and they start getting into depression. Don't answer this, but is this you this morning? Mm-hmm. You know, they all may start out well, but on far too many occasions, their faith fizzles. Living by faith can be compared to climbing a ladder. There's a right way to go up a ladder, and that is taking one step at a time. Now listen up here. You got to listen close, Dean, all the way through this. I don't want Mr. Safety jumping all over me here. Okay. Someone with long legs, though, may think that he can take two steps at a time. You know, he would get to the top a lot quicker, wouldn't he? So what about taking three steps at a time? Now, I'm speaking hypothetically, okay? I want to make sure. I know he's sitting there. Okay. Myself, nowadays, see, I prefer to stay off of ladders.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Myself. Yep. And, you know, there was a day when, you know, these lights out here above the crosses outside, I used to get somebody to say, just bring me a ladder. I got to fix the light. And they would bring me a ladder. I'd go up there, lean on that, land that 40-foot ladder, taking the light, swinging the door open, working on it, changing the ballast or whatever had to be done. You know what I do now? I'm going to say, hey, it's not working. Yeah. I better call somebody. I ain't going up the ladder no more. I used to think that if I fell, as long as I hit the grass, I was going to be okay. And then one day when I was up on a roof here, and I thought, you know, if I slip and I get on there, the air conditioner's down. I'm going to hit that air conditioner or those posts that the signs are for the handicap. And then I had to realize, no matter what, I wasn't going to survive that fall. And that's when I said, you know what? Time for me to retire from that kind of stuff. I don't. That's when you start hiring people, hallelujah. You know? You got to know your limitations, folks. Now, obviously, taking more than one step at a time, that's not a good idea. And I don't recommend trying to go up there running very quickly up a ladder. I've seen many try it. Get on that ladder, go flying up in the canoe. They miss, man. You can get some bad shin marks. And sometimes you start doing that, you may get butt wet. And you know what? I've seen them fall off the ladder. It don't work out well. No. The best way to climb a ladder is slow and one rung at a time. Yeah. My wife, I know she's sitting back there, she won't let me on a ladder because the last time I put a ladder up into our tree so I could go trim it, I went up and it was an old ladder. I tried to make things last. Anthony, I tried to make it last long. Well, it was a wooden ladder and a rung broke. And I went down through it, flipped and come around and land backwards. And the guy that lives across the street, he's 80 years old. She said, help, help. I said, who's going to listen? He can't come over here. He's got a cane, 80 years old. My wife, she said, how are you going to do it? I said, no, I'll figure this out. I'm laying upside down. I'm through a broken ladder. But I climbed on her. You know what? I finished trimming the tree, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, neat. Yeah. Can I tell you a story? The last time I trimmed that tree, I put the ladder up, and I was out there. And Therese comes out. She said, I said, just steady the ladder. And I'm I'm up here next. I'm about the second rung down, and I got that thing that you saw and trimmed the branches with. You know, I'm snapping, and I started working. I hear this. What the heck? And I realized, oh, wait a minute. Is it trees? Get in the house. What? Why is it? Get down. I'm trying to come. I said, get down, because I'm going to throw the thing down. I got down. I got off and got partway into the neighbor's yard going that direction. And I heard this. And it was the biggest cloud of bees I've ever seen in my life. I got neighbors that saw it. They said, they were sitting on their porches like, what? I'm going that direction. But I got back there and I watched it. And they just come out. We're going like this. And I finally went in the house. And then I said, I got to go pick that stuff up. Oh, no, you don't want to even go back. I had to go get the ladder and stuff, though. I mean, I had knocked it over. You know, I went out there. And me and her, I said, why not? We're looking. We could see up in the tree what got underneath it. We're looking. There was no bee's nest, no nothing. So I took it as from God saying, don't go up in the tree no more. I mean, it's a true story. Am I right, Therese? Look at her. Come on, I'm almost done with my message. You know, hallelujah. Okay, so it's the same with our, is the truth is just with our faith, how we try. See, trying to take two or three steps or one giant step at a time is not good. Okay? When we do this, we are actually trying to believe God beyond our faith level. Now, someone may ask, how much faith is enough? Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In this verse, the word "the" indicates that all Christians receive the same amount of faith when we are born again. So it's not that we don't have enough faith. Okay, Ted, because Jesus said in Matthew 17:20 that if we had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, we could move a mountain. That's a fingertip. That's a mustard seed. Remember when he gave all the mustard seeds out? It's all it takes. I have a mustard seed, and I'm not afraid to use it. That's what we got to do. Don't be afraid to use your faith. Keep it in your level of faith, though. Just leave that up, Ted. We don't need a lot of faith. We just need to exercise the faith we've already been given. Everybody has muscles. I thought of you, Doc, on that scene. I don't know why. Everybody has muscles. You have to have muscles to manipulate people the way he does. Praise God. You know. And Teresa says, I was over the anointed hands. Oh, they got me back in shape. You know. His hands are anointed. Amen. And yeah, you can hear that. There are a lot of amens in here. But everybody has muscles. But some people develop their muscles more than others do. See, and I feel I'm pretty strong, but if I would stand next to a professional bodybuilder, well, let's just say my arms and legs wouldn't even compare to that man. It would show that he has worked out to develop his muscles more than I've worked out to develop mine. I used to work hard at developing mine. The same is true with faith. Some people have developed their faith muscles far more than others. They can easily believe for something large, while others struggle with receiving things small. The more we exercise our faith, the easier it will be to see the promises of God manifest in our life. No one goes to the gym and immediately bench presses 300 pounds, unless you're Deanie. I didn't say Dean, I said Deanie, so I could say they can make a difference, you know. That person would hurt themselves or herself if they tried. They have to start out with the lower weights and build up to the heavier weights. You know, it's like someone, they don't start out boxing one weekend and then try to fight the champion the next weekend. You know, and we all giggle and laugh at the thought of that because it would be ridiculous. Yet some people hear one sermon on faith and they try to fight for the world championship. See, David didn't start out slaying Goliath. He first fought a bear and a lion. By the time he got to Goliath, he already knew how to believe God. He knew what it was like to step out in faith with nothing but God to rely on. Did you catch that? See, David didn't use the armor King Saul wanted him to wear. See, because he had not even proven it out. See, many make the mistake of trying to do what God did for somebody else. They will say, well, so-and-so was in the same situation. And that's where I'm at right now. So I'm going to do exactly what they did. When we do this, we are basing our faith on another person's faith. To get results, we must base our faith only on God's word. And a good way to exercise our faith muscles is to believe God for something every day. Make it something attainable that day, though. Every day we should do that. Pick something that is attainable. That's how you build and grow your faith. See, if we don't exercise our faith, it will shrink, just like your muscles. But the more we exercise it, the more it will grow, just like a muscle will grow. Instead of seeing our faith fizzle, we will see victory after victory after victory. And let me leave you with this. As our faith grows, so goes our decrees and declarations.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where we're stopping for today. Praise God. Hallelujah.